Late night. I always say that. I don't know why I do, but maybe because I think it's funny. Anyway, welcome back, you guys. I haven't done a live show in probably going on 2 weeks, which is good because I got some sleep, I got some rest, I was able to. I was able to get some things done. I wasn't working, you know, like I work all the time. This is actually the first week, this past week, that I didn't work any extra. You know, money's good, money's great, but you can't take it with you. And I've said this 1,000 times before on the show. It's, you have to work to live, not live to work. So, but you know, although I do like the money and stuff, but, anyhow, I'm so glad to be back live. Like I said, I haven't done a live show in 2 weeks. I have done some podcasts. If you've checked out some of the Drive episodes that I've uploaded to Spreaker, check those out. They're kind of funny. Also, I had an interview on Wednesday, with Trevor Wayne. He's an artist, actor, model, cute guy, nice guy. Check that out. I'm going to play an excerpt from the interview tonight for you guys who haven't checked out the actual interview here on Spreaker.com and iHeartRadio. But I am glad to be back. Feeling a little sick, though. You know, I worked today, and not that it was a busy day. I know, and I say this a lot, too, and I don't hate my job. I really, really like my job. I think what I'm doing it definitely serves a purpose, and I'm glad that I can be some type of influence, a good influence in someone's life, by, you know, mentoring, directing them in the right path, helping them live normal lives. So I like my job, but sometimes when you have people who you work with, it seems like they're always working against you. And I, for one, I always say, do your damn job, you know, and it's not me saying it. It's the company that's names on your paycheck. They want you to do your job, you know, and most of the time they want you to be good at it, you know, unfortunately they want you to be good at it, but some people don't take their job as serious, I guess, as I do. So I've been dealing with it the last, you know, maybe that's why I'm sick, I'm stressed out. You know, within the last 2 hours of work today, I had to spend an hour cleaning up a mess because someone else didn't do their job in order to get my job started for February. It's the beginning of the month. So I'm like, ugh. So that kind of stressed me out. But anyhow, like I said, glad to be back. And first, I want to give a very, 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 very shout out to my boy, Ken Boggle. He is no longer part of the 20-year-old club. He has pushed over the 29 and a half mark, and he is now in the 30 club, although I'm not a part of the 30 club anymore, so I'm a little jealous. So happy birthday to Ken Boggle. So if you guys follow Ken Boggle, check him out, go to his Spreaker page and on any of his shows and say happy birthday to Ken Boggle. I believe he's having a birthday show at some point tomorrow. So wish the old man many, 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 many more. And this is something I know. Ken's birthday kicks off Black History Month, and he's not black, and he didn't know. Well, he probably knew, but maybe Maybe he doesn't want that associated with his birthday. Well, it wouldn't be a bad thing. Black is good, baby. But yeah, so it's Black History Month. So during the Real Talk with Day and Nikki shows and the 5x5 late night show, I will probably be bringing you some kernels of Black history. Which is interesting because, and like I said this on the Drive episode. Oh, by the way, if you want to hear the Drive episodes live, well, they're recorded, but they're broadcast live. You can go to the 5x5 blog, and that's the 5x5.blogspot.com. There's a Mixlr page icon at the very, very top. Hit Mixlr, and I normally do those during the middle of the week, normally Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, and it's what I've recorded. I had to find an easier way because it was taking up a lot of my time to record them, then upload them, then put them on YouTube, and then get them on the website. And then I was doing way too much, and I don't have that much time. And plus, I need some sleep. But so check them out on Mixlr. I'm gonna have a few of them on here. I previously said that I wasn't gonna have any of the Drive episodes on Spreaker, but it doesn't make sense not to have them when I already have an audience. So until my Mixlr audience grows, the Drive will be there and some of them will be here. And of course, you can always hear all of them on our Blogspot blog. And don't forget to check out the Facebook page. It's still around, the 5x5. And also send me a tweet at the 5x5. And the fives are numeric just in the Blogspot URL. But like I said, it is Black History Month. I'm a big old black man and I love being black. And something I didn't know, and I should have known, because I used to there was years ago there was a group that I was in. I was in high school that I participated in a Black History academic team where we competed. Just like a lot of other academic things, we competed on our knowledge about Black history. Even though they gave you source material, which is really good. A lot of people, like the city that I live in, was kind of like, "Eh, we did." The school system didn't want to support it because it wasn't part of the whole academic program that they were putting forth. But it was Black history, but this is Southern Indiana, so it makes totally sense. But it gave the people who were involved a wealth of knowledge of Black history, things that you would have never known in a million years. And it kind of spanned from the medical field all the way up to the poets and even contemporary music, movies. It was everything. It was everything. But one thing I didn't know, I was like, I just asked myself tonight, why is Black History celebrated in February? And what I didn't know, this was started in 1926. The precursor to Black History Month was created in 1926 in the United States when historian Carter G. Woodson and the Association for Study of Negro Life and History announced the second week of February to be Negro History Week. This particular week was chosen because it marked the birthday of Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln. And it was just, that's a week that they, celebrated who we were as a people at that time. And it was play the emphasis was placed on encouraging the coordinated teaching of the history of American blacks in the nation's public schools. The first Negro History Week was met with a lukewarm response, not surprising for the time, gaining the cooperation of the Department of Education of the United States of North Carolina, Delaware, and West Virginia, as well as the city school administrations of Baltimore and Washington, D.C. At the time of Negro History Week's launch, Woodson contended that the teaching of Black history was essential to ensure the physical and intellectual survival of the race within broader society, which is true. I remember as a kid growing up, only thing that you were taught a black about the black experience in schools, and this is the 70s and 80s, early 80s. We were taught that we were slaves. We was taught this Whitey beat us. You know, I remember my mother making me watch, my sister and I watch Roots. When I remember watching Roots when I was in kindergarten. Kunta Kinte, you know, LeVar Geordi from Star Trek. So, and I remember that as a kid, you didn't get, and of course they had Martin Luther King Jr. that, you know, of course it was a holiday. His birthday was on holiday then. You just know he led the civil rights movement. And you may have heard about Rosa Parks. And those names were thrown out there. And then, of course, all the black imagery on TV was the junk man, Fred, was it Fred Sanford? Or what's the thing? It was the guy who, damn it, I just seen this other night on television. He was the coon. There's all that jive talking, Foxy Brown, all those kind of B-rated movies that portray, you know, black people in a negative light. But you know, how negative could it be? We was the ones say we wanted to do it because they were trying to get a paycheck. But other than that, you know, in 1976, the expansion of Black History Week to Black History Month was first proposed by the leaders of the Black United Students at Kent State University. Let me tell you this: when I was in college, my freshman year, because I was kind of militant, I used to wear those shirts. It's a black thing you wouldn't understand all the time. And the funny, not really the funny thing, but when I was in college, I went to a college here. It was a private institution, very expensive, very exclusive, you know, because it cost so much. But I had a free academic scholarship, so I had to pay nothing. But anyhow, they wouldn't allow us to have, now every university, college, campus I've ever been on or ever even read about, even if it wasn't a predominantly black university, it was, they had a black student union. Everywhere, the college across town had a black student union. This school tripped because there might have been 30 of us. There was only 4,000 people at this at the college. I think it's bigger now, but at the time when I was going, there was only, this was back in 89, 90, 91, 92, 93. There was only a small group of people, black people, and I remember the school having a meeting during one of our, at the time, black student union meetings, and they said we could no longer call ourselves a black student union. They said it was racist. They weren't going to have it at their school. And up until then, I was thinking that they had it up until this time, and so they made us change the name to the Minority Student Association. And my thing is, nobody had a problem with that. I'm like, that's an issue. No, this is not right. But I was a freshman. I was very, very green, and some of the black upperclassmen were like, "Oh yeah, that's right. We're all inclusive." But my thing is, we lost our identity because at that point, if you're a minority of the school, whether it be women, foreign students, or some kind of sect that wasn't the majority, we had, not that we didn't want to let them in, because you know we was always very, very inclusive, but they was also in that group. So it was no longer the Black Student Union, it was the Minority Student Association. And I always had an issue with that, so I quit. I'm like, nah, that ain't for me. Y'all tripping. You know, stand up. So I don't know what they're doing now. I haven't been back. I drive past it every day, but I haven't been back to any of the alumni things, but it just really doesn't matter. But anyhow, so 1976, it was made. Well, no, let me tell you about the Black United Students at Kent State University in February 1969. They made a Black History Month that took place a year later. They start putting it in action. It took place later in 1970 in February to make it Black Student Black History Month. And in 1976, during the United States Bicentennial, that's when the United States government and President Gerald Ford made it official. I think it's unofficial, official, because it depends on where you live, because everywhere they don't, they don't teach or they don't share that here. Like there's some school system. I think I told you. Oh, I guess you. I haven't told you guys. I was taking my mother to dialysis the other day. We was there in the office or whatever, and a lady who was there wasn't. She wasn't from the city that I live in. Now this is the third. It's Evansville, the third largest city in Indiana. Ken says having his birthday kick off Black History Month is an honor. It should be, boy. Anyhow, and so I'm really talking a lot, and so and so we're talking to her, and she doesn't live in the city. She lives in a smaller town that's like 40 minutes away from here. And it was during it was that Monday where the banks were closed, and but they leave it they leave it up to the state to decide whether it's going to be a holiday. Well, I mean the city, and the city she lived in didn't recognize MLK Junior's birthday as a holiday, and so therefore she said she didn't she should because they changed the schedule of dialysis when there's holidays, like when there's banking holidays, and she's like she shouldn't have to suffer because her city didn't celebrate that stupid holiday anyhow. I'm like, okay, done talking to you. But anyhow, this is not my Black History month podcast show, whatever. So tonight, let's get off that topic. Tonight, we're talking about the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 48 is going. Well, I guess it's today at 6:30 p.m. I don't know wherever you guys are, but 6:30. I think it's 6:30 here. And so we're gonna talk about some different things about the Super Bowl. We're gonna talk about some Super Bowl commercials that you should be able to see, and also movie trailers, and then some facts that you may not know about the Super Bowl in the number sense. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back, and we're gonna talk Super Bowl. Thank you guys for listening. I'm glad to be back, and we'll be right back.
Came her home. You see, she was educated through urban exploitation and graduated with honors.
And now she's homeless, left with brokenness.
The streets ain't worth the hurt they call. Let me tell you who you are. So well spoken, they serve as tokens used to purchase a moment. And she's no wiser, insecurities tend to blind her, while reality seems to find her.
And now she's hopeless, left with brokenness.
But he ain't worth a penny cost. Let me tell you who you are.
See, black, black beauty, such a precious gift to
possessions, preserved to endure. That's what you are, a reflection of his love. So don't be hopeless, let go of brokenness. And remember who you are. You're a black beauty, beautiful. My body and soul, and everywhere in between. Ain't that what you see? Black beauty, precious gift to behold.
Oh, that was kind of the jam. I like that. I love Nick West. That's off the Nicotine. Me neither. That's the first time I ever played that song on the show. So you'll be hearing that a lot during some of our Black History themed shows throughout the month of February. Thank you guys. If you're just joining me, I went on a Black History rant for about 15 minutes. I'm sorry. That's not what I wanted to do. I was going to save that for another time. But it just kind of flooded my mouth because I haven't been on live in 2 weeks. So like I said, I hope you guys are doing good. Thank you guys for joining me here on the 5x5. Big things coming up for us. We're going to do a lot of different things. Ken and I will be doing some different things as well. So just headed in a more positive, stronger, drama-free direction. And I'm going to try to hold to that. Oh, no, I'm not going to try. I'm going to. Anyway, so the Super Bowl is tomorrow. Now, I've never been one who really participated. Well, I never played football for one because my mother wouldn't let me. For two, I've never been a big sports fan. I always watch the Super Bowl, you know, but I don't have a dog in the fights ever. Except when I was living in Atlanta, the Falcons never made it. Is it the Falcons or is it the Hawks? I think it's the whatever the football team in Atlanta is. See, that's a gay man's thing. Well, there's some gay men that love sports. I'm just not one of them. The Super Bowl this year, I think it's the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks. And like I said, I never really pay attention unless it's a team that has some kind of significance, like the Colts, the year that they were in it. I think they were in it, maybe. I think they won. I was invested in that season, but everything else, I don't know, really no football players. I know Indiana, all you Hoosiers, they love Peyton Manning. You know, he left the Colts and he went to the Broncos. So he's in the Super Bowl. So Indiana people are going crazy because they love him. He still has God status here in the state of Indiana. So he'll be, you know, trying to get a Super Bowl tomorrow. Because he's the one with the brother or something, Eli Manning. But the reason why I do watch the Super Bowl is for the commercials. I love the commercials. I think the very first memory of the Super Bowl commercials was doing when Michael Jackson was the real, real hotness. And remember he did that whole little thing throughout the whole Super Bowl. There was like a story. Had a little Alfonso Ribeiro, whatever his name. He was Carlton on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He was in the commercials. And I remember that being a big deal. And I watched the whole Super Bowl just to see the commercials. And I also I've watched a few full length and gets kind of hyped. I'll pick a team and stick with that team and hopefully they end up winning. I love an underdog. I think the year that New Orleans Saints, I rooted for them. And so, but this year I really don't have a dog in the fight. So I'm going to go with the whole Indiana thing, I guess, and throw my hat in for Seattle Seahawks. Not that I really care because I don't. But most importantly, I care about are the commercials. And there are going to be a ton. Did you guys know that for a 30-second spot, it costs $4 million. And they talk about, this is what is so crazy to me. They talk about how we're in all this debt, but yet and still, how long is the Super Bowl? I don't know what, 2 hours, 3 hours maybe, you know, and they have all these commercials and they're $4 million, you know, a slot. That is, I would love to be the person on the sales team selling these spots because the commissions are obviously phenomenal, but it doesn't make sense to me. They said this year the companies will be spending $4 million for a 30-second spot at Super Bowl 48. These remain the most expensive ad buys on television. Fortunately, 30 seconds isn't much time, and $4 million is still quite a bit of money. So, you know, they do everything they can that is lavish. But my thing is, there's been very few commercials. Because now, is it more a gimmick now to people just, I'm just watching for the commercials as I'm not really going to take the commercial to heart and then go buy something? Is that what it is? Because to me, it seems like it's just, it's not money well spent. Because the commercials really don't entice me to really buy anything. I might see something, oh, that's cute. You know, will I run out and get it? You know, I don't know what the time frame is from seeing something that you're engaged in in a commercial until the actual consumer goes purchase it. I would like to know those stats. I don't have them, but I would like to know. And so, ScreenRant.com, if you go to ScreenRant.com, they have all the commercials. I think these are some of the leaks. All the commercials that I didn't watch them all. I watched a few of them. Audi has one. A lot of cars. Axe has one. Bank of America is going to have one. Dr. Dre Beats, which is really, really, is just gaining momentum. Like the one guy with the dreads who had that, I don't know his name, he had the black guy who had a problem. He pushed somebody on another team and there were some words, and because that team, I guess he's on the Seahawks, maybe, I don't know. And he was in the last Beats by Dre commercial. It was actually a very clever commercial, but they're debuting one of those. Bud Light, Ian is up for anything. I guess it's one of the Bud Light characters. They have one, two, three. They have three. And here, mind you, this one commercial is 1 minute long, so that's $8 million. I don't know if they got some deals or something knocked off, but it's $8 million for the commercial. Hey, Todd, what's up? What's up? Thanks for joining me here tonight. I'm just kind of chit-chatting. Ken says he loves the underdog too. Are you guys watching the Super Bowl? Ken says it messes up all his birthday plans. He says it's worse than having your birthday on Christmas. Butterfingers having a commercial. CarMax. Oh, and I watched the Cheerios commercial. Remember the Cheerios commercial with the little biracial girl? They had the white mother and the black father, and the world, well, the United States went crazy about it. People went crazy about it because they didn't think they should be showing that imagery on TV. People are crazy. You need to mind yours. And so she has a new commercial. The family has a new commercial where they're having a baby, and she wants, because he's explaining to where she's going to have a little brother, and then she pulls another Cheerio and she's like, and a puppy, and she rolls her eyes. It's really cute. So Cena don't need to watch it tomorrow. So Chevrolet, a lot of car companies are advertising. Did we have to bail some of y'all out? What's up with that? A lot of car companies are having Super Bowl commercials. Chobani. Course Coke is having a commercial. I wonder if Beyonce is going to be in a Pepsi commercial. Remember she had the Super Bowl halftime show and shut down the stadium last year, and then she had that Pepsi commercial from Grown Woman that was just now released. The song anyhow. Heinz, what else? I'm trying to get to it. Hyundai. There's a Matrix one, but I haven't seen it. Oh, the Jaguar. Being Bad is Good. It has Ben Kingsley in it, and also the guy who plays Loki from the Avengers as they were talking about why are always British, the villains are always British. They said, because we have a stiff upper lip and we sound better. So that's a really good commercial. If you guys haven't seen that, that's going to be debut tomorrow. Then the Oikos yogurt, it has a Full House reunion with... I don't know the other guy's name. You just know John Stamos, who's all over the place. And this is kind of, this whole Oikos commercial has really done a lot. I mean, not this commercial in particular, but the whole campaign has really done a lot for his career. But he's still a nice looking man. He's aged very nicely. But they have a Full House reunion with the other two guys. What are their names? I can't. Do you guys know what the other guys' names were on Full House? And I'm doing good, Todd. I don't know what the other guy's name were on Full House. He did America's Home Funniest Home Videos, and he tried to have a show, it didn't work. When the other guy was always kind of funny, but they're having that. I remember when John Stamos was Blackie on The Young and the Restless, or one of those crazy soap operas. Pepsi, SodaStream, and I think they're going to throw some shade at Coke and Pepsi for SodaStream. Squarespace.com, I don't know what that is. Toyota. Like I said, there's a ton of cars. Volkswagen, WeatherTech, and this Pistachios commercials. Those always end up being really good. So look for those tomorrow on the Super Bowl if you're going to watch. Now, if I wasn't working, I might make a way to a party or something, because I'll go to the party, eat up the little food and everything. But but I like I said, I don't have a dog in the fight, so it really doesn't matter to me. You know, who wins, who loses. I will get to watch it while I'm at work, but I'll be doing stuff, but it'll be on the television. So, like I said, this I don't think it really matters to me. And they're spending all this money, and they're talking about how much the hotel room is going to cost for one day. Like, normally it'd be $123. They're going to jump up to $499 or some nonsense like that. And they're saying it's going to pump about $500 million into the New York, New Jersey area, which I think is really, 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 really insane. But another thing, which I'll talk about when we come back, is all the movie, there's going to be some new movie, there's going to be some new movies being debuted during the Super Bowl. So I'll share those with you when we come right back.
Some shit you never get to do, trying to give me some stunning shit. shit, I stun on you. Stun on you. Stun on you. I ain't that bitch.
I ain't that bitch. I know that's right. I ain't that bitch. I know that's right. Stunting. Just when they think you know me, I switch it up. I like that. That's Tinashe. Another one that I found looking for independent artists. And why that chick hasn't been signed to a label is beyond me, because she turns it up every time I play a song by her. Love that girl. Anyhow, thank you for coming back. It is David from the 5x5, and this is the 5x5 late night show, where I'm just liable to say anything and everything and just kind of chit chat, play some music, hang out, no agenda. But like we were talking about the Super Bowl, we've been talking about the Super Bowl while we started the show. We started with Black History. We talked about Super Commercials. But what I'm really interested in seeing tomorrow, it wasn't on this website. I went to a website that was talking about, it's thebusinessinsider.com, that was talking about the movie trailers. Even though there's been some trailers out for some of these movies, these are like the big trailers that give, not that it gives stuff away, that makes you want to go see the movie. Now, here's the thing about commercials: don't make me buy things, but movie trailers will make me go see a movie. Because, you know, most of the time on movie trailers, they show all the whole movie in 30 minutes to 30 seconds to a minute anyway, and then you're like, But of course, the big one, one of the big ones, is the Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man 2, because, you know, Jamie Foxx is going to be Electro in that one. And I'll talk about this more tomorrow on we're bringing back Fanboy Weekly. Woo-hoo! I haven't done one of those in forever. I'm going to try to stick on schedule with that, because I like doing that show. They're going to get two commercials for the Amazing Spider-Man number 2, mind you, $4 million, but seem like, you know, I guess they can do it. Disney, Need for Speed. I don't know. I don't like racing shows. I haven't seen one of the Fast and Furious. Even though Paul Walker's really, really hot, even though he, you know, and he can rest in peace, Paul, because he was really, really hot, but I never watched it. And isn't The Rock or somebody in it? I don't know. I don't watch them. And then another one I've been waiting for, another. Marvel is killing the game with the comic book movies. I mean, killing. They're slaying DC. And again, I'll talk about this more tomorrow. I mean, slaying the competition. There's nobody that can touch Marvel right now when it comes to comic book movies, because they're, you know, some of the highest gross, you know, Marvel for the last several years have had the top grossing movies for the year. And they have been superhero movies. Anyhow, Winter Soldier with Captain America, that you're going to have a big debut, and Scarlett Johansson looks fierce. Let me tell you, go to businessinsider.com, check out some of these. I'll have these on the website in the next couple of days. She looks amazing as Black Widow. She's reprising her role as well. Looks good, but that's going to debut tomorrow. And then draft day, I think it has something to do with drafting football players or something. I'm gonna go see that. Now, one movie that is interesting to me is Noah. And I love, even though Russell Crowe is all crazy and wants to beat up everybody, remember when they did that on South Park when he was, him and his tugboat was going around beating up people all the time? That was hilarious. But Noah, which is gonna take the biblical version of Noah, and they put it in, and it looks phenomenal. Big budget. They're gonna have a big debut of the trailer tomorrow. And then this is something I didn't know. Again, we'll talk about tomorrow on Fanboy Weekly tomorrow night. Transformer has a fourth. Is it the fourth movie? Yeah, the fourth. By Michael Bay still doing it. Shia LaBeouf is not in it. Mark Wahlberg is going to be in the fourth movie. I do some research. I don't know what it's about, but it's called Transformers Age of Extinction. So that's going to be a trailer that I'm looking forward to see. 3 Days to Kill by Kevin Costner, with Kevin Costner. Kind of a secret service agent. He's done that 1,000 times. I already said Amazing Spider-Man 2, Monuments Men, and that's the George Clooney, Matt Damon movie. I've seen some of the trailers. If you go to Apple, if you have Apple TV, you can go to trailers on it's one of the apps, and you can see a lot of trailers for upcoming movies. But these are going to be different from, I guess, what we've already seen. I won't go see that one either. RoboCop, I'll talk about this tomorrow as well. Some reboots should never be made, because the first one, although it was different, it wasn't all that good. And I think they even had a RoboCop 2. Blah. So that's going to have a new trailer tomorrow. And Neighbors, that has Seth Rogen and Zac Efron. So I've seen some artwork and posters for Neighbors. But you know, so those are going to be the movie trailers that are going to be debut tomorrow. And one more that this website didn't talk about is X-Men Days of Future Past. This, if I don't go see any movie in 2014, X-Men Days of Future Past will be the only one I'll see, because I think I had just set a problem. Did I go off for a second, guys? I think I went off for a second. Hope I didn't go off. Anyhow, Days of Future Past is the one that I'm looking for to see tomorrow, because this is a trailer. They've had little teaser trailers. This is going to be a full out trailer, big one that I'm waiting to see. So don't forget to look for the. Because I'm more interested in the movie trailers than I am the actual commercials for cars and stuff. I just paid my car off. I'm not buying a new one. I think I went out for a second. Sorry about that, guys. I don't know what happened there. I was switching from a website. I don't know. Maybe it's bandwidth problem or something. But like I told you guys earlier, I did an interview with Trevor Wayne. I want to throw that in here before... not that I run out of time. I don't want to be on that long tonight because I'm tired. We had an interview with Trevor Wayne on Wednesday, and I'm going to give you a little excerpt of our interview. We were talking about fanboys. Check it out.
What is your biggest fanboy obsession?
Oh, man. Well, my tastes are changing right now, but I did, at the time that Fanboy of the Universe asked me, I think my big thing was collecting He-Man toys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I had a whole collection of that. And, you know, yeah, I really liked the 80s cartoons.
Now, do you ever take their artwork to any of the cons? Like San Diego Comic-Con?
No.
Or you don't?
No, I don't think it would be I wouldn't really know how to do that, and I'm not sure if you know, I don't know if you have to rent space to do that, and I don't really want to stand outside with a trench coat with art under it. I'm not sure it would be lucrative for me with the cost of going down there or, you know, travel.
Yeah,
hotel,
I hear
whatever.
It's kind of expensive. Well, you know, we're having one in my city in April. You can come and do it here. I'm sure
yeah,
it won't
maybe.
Be very, like five, be like $5. It's Evansville, Indiana. It's not that serious here. No, I'm just being funny. But okay, so I told you I was going to ask this. How many tattoos do you have?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I really don't. I think the thing is, the more tattoos you get, the less you have, because it just kind of turns into one big one. you know, some tattoos I have, I don't know. They're, you know, say like, you know, my fingers are all tattooed, and it's one tattoo, but they're on different fingers. Do you count that as one tattoo, or, you know, 10?
Count it as 10. Okay. I see
like
what you're
that.
Saying.
So
I read
that started out as one, just bled, you know.
Just kind of made like a whole work of art, one big one.
Yeah.
Well, I read you got your first tattoo when you were 18.
Yes.
And that's when you were living in Michigan?
I was at the time living in Northwest Indiana.
Oh, are you from Indiana?
Yeah. Well,
no
kind of
way.
All over the Midwest. I was born in Chicago. Moved up to Blueberry Farm in Michigan, moved back down to Indiana, back over the border to Illinois, and back to Indiana. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but it was actually all within that small area, like right around the border. And yeah, so I don't really know where I'm from, actually. I just say, you know, Midwest.
Oh, wow, because Northwest Indiana, I guess that would be like Merrillville, Michigan City, all those kind of places up there?
Hammond. Yeah,
Hammond.
Like
okay.
Hammond, East Chicago area.
Wow, I've never been up that far in Indiana ever.
The town that Christmas Story was based on.
Get out!
Yeah, that's where I grew up.
Didn't know. So, what made you say, "Okay, I'm done with the Midwest"? Other than the weather, I want to be
Midwest.
An actor. Other than the Midwest.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think. For sure, the weather is a big part of it. Also, growing up there at the time before the internet and being gay and all that, I'm sure that had a lot to do with me wanting to get out and go somewhere that was a little more accepting. And of course, if you're an artist or actor or anything of any type, I think you kind of have to move to either L.A. or New York. It'd be hard to do that, I think, from there.
I also read that when you did come out at 18 and you was into the punk, the kind of the punk scene, and that's where you seen or found your most acceptance, and you didn't get some of the acceptance that you thought you were going to get from the gay community. Why do you think that was? Because of the tattoos? Because you were different?
I can only speak for myself and where I was at that moment in time. I know that, you know, LA and New York City had huge things going on with the underground gay community, and, you know, they're accepting of club kids, and all, you know, the artists were really intense and crazy. But I think for me at that time in Chicago, the gay part of the town was trying to be very mainstream and trying to really blend with the straight community. So they kind of were trying to be, you know, GQ and when I first came out, and again, this is all before internet. So there was no Trevor Project. There's no, let me see what's going on in the world. It's like you're in your bubble in Indiana. You don't know, except for what you see on TV, which at the time only made fun of gay people or made fun of punk rockers. Or, you know, you didn't see. I kind of just fell into punk rock through friends that I started meeting, always assuming that they were, you know, gay bashers and Nazis. And, you know, because that's growing up, that's what you see on TV. And if you live in Indiana, you're not going to go to New York City and find out the, you know, real story when you're, you know, 11. And
exactly.
So yeah, I got a fake ID, and I went, you know, when I was 19, I was really excited. I'm like, I'm going to go to the gay bars, and, you know, this is going to be wonderful. I have this whole community that, you know, I've never had before, and I was really excited. And at the time I had, you know, piercings in my face and bright orange hair, and I walked in and they pretty much laughed me out. I mean, they were really rude to me, and I, you know, this was, again, before tattoos and piercings were cool. I mean, I don't, you know, I mean, I'm loving that today it's so accepted. I love, you know, that today everybody has a tattoo. Totally fine with that. I think it's wonderful. For me, it was never about trying to be different. It was just, I really loved it. And I couldn't understand why it got such a negative reaction. But at the time, that wasn't acceptable. And, you know, especially in the Midwest, and, you know, the gays were like, ah, you know, you're crazy looking. We don't know.
So that was part of the Trevor Wayne interview I did on Wednesday. He is such a great guy. Check him out. Go to trevorwayne.com. Buy his artwork. He has done stuff with absolutely fabulous in a Xena scene. The Golden Girls, he's done them. And once I think B. Arthur was Wonder Woman, and there's Catwoman and Batgirl. He's done that. The latest creation that he's made, he's come up with, is called Horror Banana. It's hilarious. If you go to the 5x5blogspot.com page, you can see his little movie that he made to promote Horror Banana. He's just a nice guy. Somebody that I've, not that I idolize him, but something that I've like, oh, because he's very attractive. And you don't expect to find somebody the stereotype with all these tattoos. You think, oh, they're mean. He's very, very self-spoken. Like I said, he's a very, very attractive man. Crazy eyes. But when all that stuff is stripped away, he's just a regular guy. You know, doing what he does, very, very nice, very, very gracious. And, you know, thank you, Trevor Wayne, for talking to us, or talking to me. I appreciate it. We will have him on soon. I'm going to ask him, because Ken and I are going to be doing some different things. We're going to be doing some Google Hangouts. I think it's a format that I want to use, and I haven't ran this by Ken yet, but we're going to do that. So you get to see our lovely faces live and in living color. So that should be fun once we work out the details on that. So I'm going to have him do one of those with us. Maybe he'll pop on and do one of those with us. And we'll see how that goes. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back up. We'll be back to a couple more things to talk about, and then we'll wrap some things up. We'll be right back. You ain't ready. Welcome back. That was just a really quick song by Tinashe. So, when talking about Super Bowl, you know what always comes up is the Super Bowl halftime performances. I was talking to Ty. He said we were streaming. Don't be streaming my show over there on TalkShoe. People talk about me. Don't be doing that. Hey, TalkShoe, if you're listening to me. Too funny. So every time you talk about Super Bowl, you talk about the halftime show performances. I've seen a ton of them, and that's another reason to watch the Super Bowl. If you're not really into the game itself, which I'm not, you know, they have commercials, you have movie trailers, and you have the halftime performances. You know, my cousin, co-host on Real Talk with Dan Nikki. You know, she loves Prince, so Prince did the Super Bowl 1 year, which was phenomenal. I remember the year that Diana Ross came flying in on a helicopter. Talk about a diva. She did that. And then you had last year another diva, Beyonce, and, you know, she was so crazily good, she shut the power down. You know, they said it was all that Illuminati stuff, but but they need to stop saying that, because none of that's true. But and what do you guys think about the Grammy performance? I haven't got to talk about the Grammys. Her Grammy performance on the Grammys last Sunday. I thought she opened the show. Everybody was like, ooh, Madonna's, she's going to be performing. She's opening the show. No, darlings, it was Beyonce. Catch it. She opened the Grammys with Drunken Love. Although I will say this, Drunken Love to me, the song, is not a Grammy performance song. It was more of a, how shall I say, it's more of a, it's not a performance song. It wasn't an opening act song. She could have done Blow. She could have done XO. She could have done, but you know, she wanted to tell y'all her man Sex is on point, you know, and Jay-Z was there. It was very, very good. And then you had Madonna late on the show walking around on a cane looking like, she looked like the man from, remember that show Poltergeist, the number two, the villain in Poltergeist number two? That's who she looked like, Kane. She needs to sit it on down, and her face was snatched to death. She, if you thumped her in the face, her face would crack because she was doing too much. Even though I like Madonna, I don't dislike Madonna. I've never been a huge fan as a gay man. I've never been a huge fan, but she. Whatever. It's time for her to sit it on down. That's all I can say about that. But anyhow, so Beyonce did last year's performance, and then had the little, you know, reunion with Destiny's Child, and that's when the B stands went after Keisha Cole, because she made comments about Michelle. We haven't heard from Keisha Cole since. So y'all need to stop talking about Beyonce, because anytime you do, and this goes to any recording artist out there, when you talk about Beyonce, nobody ever hears from you again. Call Keisha. She's in Atlanta, Georgia, and so is Carrie Hilson. Call them girls and ask them advice about talking about Beyonce. They'll tell y'all to leave her the hell alone. Anyhow. And so, this year, I think it's going to be Bruno Mars. Now, one of the guys who either produces or writes songs from Bruno Mars is from Southern Indiana, Phil Lawrence. He's from here. He had a concert here. Now, he can sing, too. I remember them as kids being in all the talent shows. I know his sister, Dee Dee Lawrence, because she is an opera singer now. So I know them people. But I don't know them like that. I can't get free tickets or anything, but I know who they are because they're local. But you always have to think about Janet Jackson and Nipplegate. So, the Rolling Stone did a article, if you go to their website, and I'll have a link for it on the Facebook page, they say, people say hindsight is 2020, but for Janet Jackson, looking back must mean remembering that the game is rigged, which I agree. In 2004, he said he was one of the, and I didn't see it, I don't know where I was, 2004, no telling what, I was still running the streets in 2004, I thought I was young, and I got all skinny and everything. Thing, and I thought I was cute, so I probably was somewhere running the streets, but I didn't see it. Of course, I've seen it in a replay. Was it a wardrobe malfunction or not? I think it was. I don't think she's not that kind of person. She's never done that before. And I think when Justin tore off part of her bustier or whatever, I think he. Another piece of material came off with it to expose her breast that had this kind of sunburst nipple piercing. Janet's a freak, for real. And then after that, they crucified Janet. I mean, they crucified her. Justin Timberlake went unscathed. Dude, and I always thought that her treatment for that, you know, there's worse on TV now. You know, again, not trying to bash Madonna, she had done worse on TV on purpose. So for and then this whole article is about how maybe it was rigged to the fact where because CBS fined the FCC fined CBS $550,000, and CBS subsequently parted ways with MTV because MTV is the one that produced the halftime show. But my thing is, how do you let one person take the whole rap for everything that's going on? And Justin Timberlake, you know, he became an even bigger star, you know, and then he kind of cut all ties with Janet. And then she says in the article that she was surprised that from the reaction from somebody she had considered a friend. And furthermore, Justin Timberlake's the one that had that video called Dick in a Box. I mean, and that's on primetime, well, I guess really not primetime TV. Well, he was doing it on Saturday Night Live and jizz on your face and all that kind of nonsense. So I'm like, it's such a double standard, and I felt sorry for her at the time, because after that, her musical career never rebounded. You know, that was just before the release of Demita Joe, which, in my opinion, it wasn't that great of an album anyhow. There was like two songs on there that were kind of okay, and then she came out with 20YO, which, you know, Janet was an icon in the industry. I mean, it was Madonna, Janet, and Whitney Houston in the 80s. That was it. And in the 90s, it was Janet, Paula Abdul, and Whitney Houston, and Madonna. You know, Janet has always been part of that group that was the females that were leading. She was one. She was the first paid, highest paid entertainer when she struck that deal with Virgin Records. And then she gets crucified by her peers, and nobody came to her side, you know, and they're still holding it against her, because that's the first thing that people come out. And then even Rolling Stone's like, you know, it was never should have been done. She should never have been crucified the way she was in the public, because she was disinvited from the Grammys that following year because she wouldn't apologize again. She's like, I'm done apologizing. I didn't do anything wrong. I told y'all what happened. I'm sorry. Y'all not getting the blood from me. But then Americans, how we are, you know, and then that whole black white thing, how we are, they made her pay for it. Not that she's cared, because she's married to a billionaire now, and she's laughing all the way to the bank. You're like, whatever. She don't have to sing again, ever. No, we might not see her. She might be wearing a burqa or something over there, but he might make it walk behind her and stuff like that. But you know, she don't have to record. And I think she's do. I think she needs to stick with doing movies and doing that. Like, if she's gonna sing, do the little the, like the up close and personal concerts. I think she needs to stick with that. But you know, Janet got me through high school, college, young adult, you know, and then Beyonce. You know, she paved the way for black female artists that danced. You know, not that she had the strongest voice in the world, because she didn't. Beyonce wouldn't be Beyonce with if there wasn't any Janet Jackson. You know, my three black divas in my world, even though I love Patti LaBelle, and the ones that really can belt out and sing, started out with Diana Ross, went to Janet Jackson, went to Beyonce. You know, that's my evolution of the black dance diva. Even though I guess Diana Ross really, what she really couldn't dance, but she is definitely. Oh, Kent just got a birthday surprise. Maybe I'll be on long enough to see this, so he can tell me what it is. I want to know. I want to know what your present is, Ken. Let me know. So anyhow, so to Janet, you know, whatever, girl. You can say you performed at the Super Bowl. You was part of the halftime show. You can say, I don't know if she was the headliner that year. Maybe she was. She probably was the headliner that year. And Justin Timberlake had an album coming out at the same time. But she's good in Why Did I Get Married. She kind of overacted in Why Did I Get Married too. But she also was good in the Velvet, with the Velvet Rope, that's the album, in For Colored Girls. Let's see, we're gonna play a couple more songs, come up, give you some money numbers of what the Super Bowl teams are being paid, And then we'll wrap up for the night. Thank you guys for listening. This is David at the 5x5, and you're listening to the 5x5 Late Night Show.
Slow it down. There ain't no use in getting all worked up. It's just a bump in the road. We're gonna work it out. We got a choice. We could save something special or let it go. Or walk away from what we know is real. Got a mighty love. Gonna fight.
Y'all remember the brand new heavies? They used to jam. I don't know what happened to them. They must have fallen. They must have broke up and got back together. We'll put it that way. Welcome back. It's David from the 5x5, and I am getting sleepy, y'all. But I wanted to say a couple more things because I haven't been on live, so I'm just like talking. If you didn't hear the first part of the show, like I said, the drive episodes, even though I'm showing showcasing some of them here on Spreaker, you can listen to them live weeknights, 11-ish. You can hear me talking while I'm driving in my car and talking about people who cannot drive in the city, the horrible streets, and then just sometimes they're topicless, sometimes not topless, don't get it twisted, topicless. Sometimes they're, I have a topic. So check those out. Like someone will be here on Spreaker.com. And send me a tweet, and you know, I'll tweet you back. Follow me on my Facebook page, the 5x5, completely spelled out, and I would appreciate that. So we're back talking a little bit about Super Bowl. We're kind of covered the commercials, the controversies, the movies, and I guess I talked a little bit about the teams, Denver Broncos and Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, that's it. The salary cap for the Denver Broncos is $132,835,029. That's crazy. And then for the Seattle Seahawks is $133,800,532. And they break it down into how much the offense gets paid and the defense get paid. I didn't know these people get paid this much. I mean, seriously, and we're talking about our country being in all this crazy debt, and we're taxing the wrong people. Seriously. Let's see. They said, when they said that the economic impact on the New York area was going to be anywhere from $400 to $600 million. They said actually is about $194 million. Of course, it's one of the biggest metropolitan areas in the country, where they're going to play the game. But it's going to give that in that financial bump to a city that's, you know, already out of control financially. And that does, you know, with incomes and rent and all that kind of stuff. Hotel prices have been marked up to 101%. And all these numbers come from sporttrack.com. Let's see. And thing is, I don't know this either. Both of these teams, the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks, they're in the, because I guess they're capped at a certain budget for the year, and they're at the top end of the cap. They're already pushing it, and then they get. I didn't know they get paid for if you make it the playoffs or you make it to the second game. And what some of the people are crying about, because since they were the top leaders in their division, they get a bye for the first round of playoffs or something. Any of you sports people, y'all can tell me, I could be saying it wrong. So they didn't get that first income level. I'm like, you guys are both roughly $133 million cap for your team. And I'm sure they pay a lot of different people, but I think that's kind of crazy. I need to go work for a football team, because I'm obviously doing the wrong thing. But anyhow, let's see. Anything else that we talked about, need to talk about? Anything you guys want to talk about? We had Prankville and Ken Boggle, but Ken's birthday is today, so he is getting his birthday gift. And any birthday gift that comes after 2 o'clock in the morning, that's a gift. Where mine at? Well, okay, we're gonna play one last song and come back, do a shout out or two, and I'm going to bed. Check this out, and we'll be right back to wrap things up.
I get filthy when that liquor get it to me. I've been thinking. Why can't I keep my fingers off it, baby? I want you, nah, nah. Why can't I keep my fingers off it, baby? I want you, nah, nah. Cigars on ice, cigars on ice.
Feeling like an animal with these cameras all in my grill. Flashing lights, flashing lights. You got me pity, 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 baby, I want you. Swerving on that big body, been serving all this. Swerp, surfing all in this good, good. We woke up in the kitchen saying, how the hell did this shit happen? Oh, baby. Drunk in love, we be all night. Last thing I remember is our beautiful bodies grinding off of that club. Drunk in love.
If I do say so myself, if I do say so myself, hold up, stumble all in the house, turn it back off all of that mouth that you had all in the car, talking about you the baddest bitch thus far, talking about you be repping that bird, I wanna see all the shit that I heard, no I slink, Clint Eastwood, hope you can handle this curve, four play in a foyer, fucked up my Warhol, slid your panties right to the side, ain't got the time to take jaws off on sight, catch a charge, I might, beat the box up like Mike. In 97, I bite. I'm Ike. Turn up, baby, nah, I don't play. Now eat the cake, anime. Said eat the cake, anime. I'm nice. For y'all to reach these heights, you gon' need G3. 4, 5, 6 flights, sleep tight. We sex again in the morning. Your breakfast is my breakfast. We gon' in.
Surfboard. I love this song. That's one of my favorite songs off the Beyonce album. Beyonce's my girl. I wish she was performing again this year, but Bruno Mars, I'm sure you do a phenomenal job. I don't know who else is going to be there with him, but I know he's the main attraction for the Super Bowl halftime show. Thank you guys for listening. It is David from the 5x5. Check out all of our social media. I want to give a quick shout out to Dwayne Hadley. Congratulations on your 100th show. He's always so complimentary to me and my show. Like I said, I haven't done a live show in 2 weeks. So I want to say, check out Dwayne Hadley. Every show he tells everybody to check me out. So, and I don't do it that much, but you know, you have to get credit where credit's due. And I thank you, Dwayne. Check out Dwayne Hadley's show, the Dwayne Hadley radio network now. He has a sports show. He also has a Daily Dosha show. Check him out. Like I said, he's always very complimentary of me, and we've been friends on Spreaker for quite a while now. We're gonna try to do another show together. We did one show back, back in September, October, wrestling show. He's a big wrestling fan. My next late night show, I'll be talking about John Cena. But tomorrow, a lot of big stuff for tomorrow's Fanboy Show. I'm talking about the new Justice League War animated movie. My review of that. Bring you up to speed on Arrow with Stephen Amell. Love. Talking about some of the new things coming out. And plus, tomorrow I'll be seeing the new X-Men Days of Future Past trailer, so we'll talk about that. Talk about the ending of Coven and whatever else my fanboy mind can go to. And also, we're getting a con in Southern Indiana. We're getting a con. I don't know how great it's going to be, but you never know. It could be good, it could be bad. I'm sure it'll be something. But thank you guys for listening. I do appreciate all you guys. Ken, Prankville, whomever else is listening tonight, I appreciate it. Getting back on schedule with the shows. Catch the Drive episodes on Mixler.com. I'm the 5x5 over there as well. Always, you can catch the Real Talk with David and Nikki on iHeartRadio.com. Put it as one of your favorites. Hopefully the shows will get better. I ordered a mixer and then I found out it's not probably the one I should have gotten. So we'll be doing, Nikki will probably be back with us doing Real Talk completely on Spreaker without the added help of Blog Talk Radio. I think that's about it. I'm going to bed because I'm not feeling all that great. Thank you guys for listening. I'm here, you're here, we're here. It's the 5x5 late night show, and we're out. Bow, bow, bow. Bow.